coming from Mark chapter 4. And it's a sudden storm that's written about, not just in Mark's Gospel, also in the Gospel of Matthew. The context is, it's been a hectic day for Jesus. Teaching, healing, blessing. Thousands of people. And you see Jesus' humanity expressed in that he is exhausted, he is tired out, he is worn out. And he tells the disciples in the evening hour, let's set sail over the Lake of Galilee. Lake of Galilee, 14 miles long, 8 miles wide. And a number of the disciples are fishermen, so this is no real problem to them. The lake is calm. Jesus gets into the boat, and he's in the back of the boat, among the fishing nets, with a pillow to rest his head, and he falls into a deep sleep. He starts off with Jesus' humanity, and you'll notice at the end you see his divinity, his power, his majesty, his greatness. The disciples themselves, they start off calm, then they're terrified, and then they're terrified for a whole new reason. This past week, I've spoken to a number of people, and they've had storms in the week, and some of them have come, and then the storm has passed, others the storm is still there, and one or two people have said to me, oh, there's a storm coming. But the study today wasn't based on you, if that's you. I know some of you are here today, all of you are here today, told me. It's simply that it's just something that everybody needs to reflect on from time to time, and very apt today with the sad passing of Robin as well. Sometimes the spirit knows what you're going to do. The storm begins when they're partway across this lake. The waves are gradually getting more and more, and it's not long before the waves are starting to envelop this boat, that the disciples, and there's some other boats as well nearby, that are getting really into difficult waters. Matthew is a tax collector, an administrator. He's in one of these boats. He's in the boat with the disciples. And he writes of the experience using the Greek word seismos, which relates to what we use today, like seismograph, seismology. It's when there's a shaking. And Matthew says, we were all shaking because the storm was furious. It's not like some of the storms that we get. And this year in England, we've had Storm Stewart, Tamiko, Vincent, Wallid. Well, it is stormy for some people, but you think to yourself, well, that wasn't very scary. This was really scary. This is a seismos storm, and they're in the middle of it, and there aren't any lifeboats. Peter and John are sailors, they're fishermen, and they're struggling to pull down the sails. Matthew, this landlubber tax collector, I imagine is vomiting up his last meal. It's a sickening situation. And following Jesus may include serious storms, where our boat gets rocked. It can be redundancy, sickness, loss of a loved one, all sorts of things you could add into there, couldn't we? But here's an important point. The mark of a follower of Jesus is not the absence of storms, but that in the storm, they see Jesus with them. If you don't get anything else today, get this. The mark of a follower of Jesus is not the absence of storms. The disciples are following Jesus, what he's telling them to do, and they hit the storm. But that in the storm, they see Jesus with them. The disciples, they're in a spin. They're looking for Jesus. And Mark tells us that they find him in the back of the boat and he's sleeping. He's under probably a canopy of fishing nets, and he's to keep them at the back of the boat. They shake him awake, and verse 24 of Matthew's account, they say, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." I don't think they said it like that. They shouted over the storm, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." In the original language, it's the words, "Lord, save perishing." Lord, save perishing. You know, this desperate, it's urgent. We need help. And then in Mark's account, Mark 4, verse 38, the disciples say to Jesus' face, "Jesus, don't you care? Jesus, don't you care?" It's fear talking, but it's a big, understandable question. Jesus, don't you care? And maybe in the storms in your lives, you've said, "Jesus, don't you care?" Fear is not a sin. It's an emotion. But the problem with fear is not fear itself, but it's the inappropriate use or response to that fear. Because when fear washes over us, we can feel completely stuck, frozen in time. And that's okay for a while, but we can't stay frozen. We need to thaw. If we stay frozen, any value or benefit that may come is lost. Benefit, you say? Really? Well, there's a real sense that in these nerve-shattering moments, we can eventually develop a deeper trust in God. We can learn valuable life lessons. God can get our attention. We can feel stronger for next time. Be able to understand and help others who go through similar storms. But we do need to defrost at some point. Fear itself is not a sin. It's important to remember that. So let's get practical. When you go on a cruise ship, or if you've ever been on a cruise ship, tour starts off with, I've only been on one ever, but you start off with emergency drills. I'm thinking that also, like on an aircraft, before you take off, the air hostess or whoever it happens to be, they give you instructions, don't they? In the event that we're gonna ditch in the sea, this is what you need to do. It's not an encouraging start to your flight, I always think. But it's just be ready. Be prepared. It probably won't happen, but it could happen. What do you need to do? You have to get practical. When I was writing this, I remembered the time when I lived in Angola. And it was in a remote region. It was in a war area. And it was in an area where the opposition were at work. So this is a humanitarian aid disaster relief. And so we had a run bags, what we call run bags. So what happens is, if it gets really bad, you grab your bag and you run, get out of the place. And then you have processes and protocols to do that. And there was one occasion, I used to be in charge of a refugee camp. And on that camp, so there was other, trying to explain this better. So they had an overall coordinator of all sorts of ones, like the refugee camp, medical, water, that sort of thing. And we get called in, heads of department, called into a meeting with the governor. And the governor and the police and the army were there. We knew we were in trouble. And the governor said, "Your oversight person, we think, is a spy. That person needs to leave the country in 24 hours or else they're going to jail." That was the day when I became the overall coordinator. First job for me was, get your run bags ready. We might be running out of here. That night, there was a big storm. And in that storm, I heard God speak to me. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And when your big storm comes, God's got it. But what's your own bag? In Chippenham. The first one I've written down is emergency prayer. Lord, save perishing. That's the prayer for Robin's family today. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. You move your worry onto your prayer list. Your worry list onto your prayer list. I wrote an acrostic, calm. C for celebrate, A for ask, L for leave, and M to meditate. C, celebrate. Even in your storm, there's things you can thank God for. And if you really can't think of anything, come and see me. I have somewhere, I bought it today. Here's my blessings book. I write three blessings nearly every day in my book. I never write the things that are going wrong. I can mention them to you, even this week. And sometimes the small things, they can really bug you. The thing that bugged me last Monday morning, was that I remembered to put the bin out. It's very complicated in Chippenham, if you don't live in Chippenham. There's different days for different bins, and then there's a week when nothing happens at all. This last Monday, I got it right. I got the right bin at the right time in the right place. I came home after doing some jobs and meetings and what have you about lunchtime. And I was surprised to see that the bin was still full, but everybody else's was empty. I couldn't work it out. But then I worked out what the problem was. I had the wrong stuff in the wrong bin. It was your general waste bin, but I had the recyclable stuff in it. And I don't know how that even happened. You know that Monday feeling? Oh boy, I had it on Monday. But there's things to be thankful for, to celebrate. And then we ask, Lord, I need help. Lord, I need your guidance. Lord, I need your wisdom. Lord, I need your breakthrough. You ask for it. But then this is really important. Then you have to leave it with God. Now, here's an illustration that really helps me, and I've mentioned it before, but it helps me so much, I thought this one, we're going to do this one again. Have you ever seen All In Wrestling? When I was a kid, wrestling was on Saturday afternoons on ITV. My granny, Nan Bird, who incidentally, Helen is at the front, her mum looked after my Nan. She loved All In Wrestling. She loved these great big beasts bouncing around, and she would shout at the TV like nobody's business. You just couldn't believe, or I could never believe, how aggressive she was. She's this little old lady, but sure. Her false teeth were flying out and everything. It was all happening every single Saturday. But Big Daddy would dive on this poor chap. That was what, he was a really sort of right ball at this. And then he would just sort of fall on top of these characters. Boof. But the remarkable thing is that then they get up and they do it all again about 30 seconds later. And our worries can be like that. We kind of slam dunk them down. There you are, God, sort that out. But then they get up again. And you have to do it again. And then they get up again and blow me down. You've got to do a Big Daddy on them. You bring your prayers to God. You've got to leave it with God. Comes up again. God, I've done that one. Cast all your cares on God. So you've asked, you've left it, and then you meditate. You meditate on the good things. And you quickly get a book full of blessings. But you've got something to look at. I can remember, oh, what happened? Oh. So I'll tell you a blessings or two. Wednesday, the 2nd of August. Joined Holiday Club today, and all good members. Message, kids, talk, craft, kids enjoyed. Leadership team meeting was good. Decided on a new study series for the autumn, 1 Peter. That was on the 2nd of August. That was the blessings that day. I'm going to do it regularly. Then it's dead easy to see, oh yeah, I am blessed when the storms come in. Recommend that. It's a tool. It's part of your own bag. Another thing that really helps me, Christian music. I don't have it. I'm not a musician. I don't know a lot of music. I know what I like to bop to. And you need to play it loud in the car. That really helps. 2 weeks ago, I was parked up at Abbeyfield School waiting to pick up the kids. And you have to park around the corner. Or you should do. Not everybody does, but I do. Yeah, I am a saint. My kids came to the car and said, Dad, we could hear you miles back. They were alarmed. I was quite impressed. But that's sometimes you've got to do that because you're moving your thinking off the subject and you're moving it on to God and His goodness and His grace and His mercy. God is good all the time. Whether you're feeling like it or whether you're not. Amen? Amen. And remember that fear numbs or freezes your memory. It's so easy to forget. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, for God does not give you a spirit of fear. He gives you a spirit of power and love, self-control. So maybe you need to write some Bible verses that are really encouraging. Stick them in the front of your Bible. And you might need to say them each day, especially when Big Daddy gets up to give you a hard time again. Sometimes it's important to share your burden with church family, trusted person, a friend, so that you can get agreement and pray to God in agreement. And of course, on occasion, there's need for professional help as well. Nothing wrong for going to a counselor or for therapy or things like that. Rum bags. Get your rum bag ready for the next storm, because you will get them. If you don't ever get a storm, you need to come and see me also. I'll give you a few of mine. But back to the events of this tremendous storm. The disciples are desperate. They are fear-soaked. And they're waking up Jesus, Lord, save drowning. This is really serious. This is life-threatening. How does Jesus respond? Does he say, whoops, sorry about that, got tired, give us a break, please forgive me? No. Mark 4, verse 39. Jesus stands in the boat with a loud voice and he commands the storm, be still. And the storm stills. The waves immediately disappear. The wind stops. And in verse 41 of our reading, the disciples are terrified afresh, it says, because they say to themselves, who is this person in the front of this boat who can stand up and stop the waves immediately? Stop the wind immediately. Who is he? And we know, because this was early on in the disciples' walk, we know this is Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. He is the sovereign Lord. He is the creator. He is the ruler. He is beyond our understanding. He is utterly powerful. There is nothing that goes on in your life that God isn't in control of. And it scared the disciples as they started to get their heads around who Jesus really is. So close and personal. So powerful and mighty. All in one. And the scriptures tell us again and again that he loves us, he cares for us, he's compassionate, and he's for us. In this big moment, Jesus turns to the disciples and says to them, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid?" It's a big question, isn't it? Let me try and give you a little bit of insight into that, which might help. Might. When I was a kid, on a Sunday night, and I think I know why now, but on a Sunday night, I usually got a nightmare. I think it's because it was school the next day. But I used to have a nightmare almost every Sunday night, scared stiff. And the story that in my mind, the dream, was that there's a witch at the top of the stairs. No, at the bottom of the stairs. I'm at the top of the stairs, and the witch is there pulling me down. And I'm holding onto the banister, and then I get partway down, I'm being pulled down, but then I scramble back up again, and the narrative goes on. I never land at the bottom of the stairs, but that's the story. Scared stiff, I'd wake up. And I'd run into my mum and dad's bedroom, almost knock the door down, shake my dad up, dad. Now, here's the amazing thing that I didn't get my head around, is that when I was in my terror state and telling my dad wasn't scared at all. He was a bit bleary-eyed. He's a bit fed up, no doubt. But he wasn't scared at all. He knew what to do. Completely calm. In my terror state. And I wonder sometimes, when we bring our fears and our terrors and our things that are really poor, that God's not panicked. He knows what's going on. He knows the beginning and the end. And he just gives us a hug. Don't need to be afraid. Is it possible that in some way God sees your storm like my dad viewed my nightmares? Is it possible that God is wanting to do that for you? I think the encouragement from our study this morning is to put our faith in the bigness of God, but also remembering very much the closeness of God and his love for each one of us. You feel in the storm that you can't handle it, that you're holding on to the side of the boat, that in picture language you're vomiting out the side of the boat. But there is nothing more powerful than him. God's got your best in mind. He is never going to let you go. So who are you going to trust? With Jesus, we start to fear less. We start to melt more quickly. With Jesus today, he opens our arms to us. He stretches forth his saving hand to you. And my encouragement from Scripture is that you receive the rescuer's grip and ask Jesus into your life, not just for the moment, not just for the storm, but for each and every day, for the rest of your life. God's got this, and he's got you in the palm of his hand. Amen.